help us to commence this morning with hymn 132. A friend there is, your voices join, ye saints, to praise his name, whose truth and kindness are divine, whose love's a constant flame. 132.
Thank you. We will read together from God's holy word, the first book of Kings, chapter 17. The first book of Kings, chapter 17. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook. And I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. And it came to pass after these things, that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, What have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? And he said unto her, Give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into a loft where he abode and laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah. And the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, See, thy son liveth. And the woman said to Elijah, Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. May God bless that reading of his holy word to us and teach us how to pray. Most kind and gracious and merciful Almighty God in heaven, we bow before thee at the start of the worship of thy house. And we pray, dear Lord, that thou would grant us a sense of thy majesty and thy holiness, that we may have our minds prepared by thy Spirit, that we may be in that right frame of mind as we come before thee this day, to be granted a sense of thy majesty as we approach unto thee as worms of the earth. O Lord, we thank thee that there is that way whereby even poor sinners such as we can approach unto a holy, holy God. But we would come with humility and with reverence and with godly fear. We pray, dear Lord, that thou put thy fear in each heart, and that our worship this day may be in spirit and in truth. Oh, we pray, Lord, that thou'd order all our worship this day, for we are base, vile sinners of the earth. Our best is stained and dyed with sin. Our all is nothing worth. Oh, then, how needful we are of thy gracious influence over our worship this day. We plead for thy Holy Spirit's presence amongst us. We plead there may be an outpouring of thy Spirit this day, both here and where thy people meet. We long, dear Lord, to see thy Spirit's work in our midst, and more, we long to have that witness of it in our own hearts. Oh, that preparation in our hearts. Oh, that softening influence. Oh, that we pray, Lord, that there may have been that preparation before the start of this day. That there may be souls who have come up to thy house in need, and with a desire, a hunger, a thirsting after righteousness. May there be some breaking through this day, as David's mighty men broke through and drew water from the well at Bethlehem. May there be a breaking through this day and a drawing of that water of life. Oh, we pray, Lord, that there may be souls by thy Spirit's power given that urgent pressing case. Oh, give me Christ or else I die. Not to be satisfied with anything short of Christ. Oh, but that longing after thee, a thirsting after thee. Lord, we pray there may be that wrestling prayer, a pressing through the crowd. There is such a crowd around. Oh, but that crowd that Satan puts up of unbelief and fear and doubts, Lord, thou canst remove it in one word, in one moment, in one smile. Do shine upon then, upon us each here. Any who feel to be walking in darkness, do shine that light of the glorious gospel into their hearts. Any feeling to be under the weight and burden of sin that does so easily beset us, those particular sins, Lord, that each are prone to, Lord, that cloud that separates and steals thy gracious presence, a felt sense of it in our hearts from us. Oh, do pierce the cloud, pierce the gloom, shine. May the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings and shine upon us. Oh, to feel the warmth, the heat. May we feel the life, breathe life into us, dear Lord. Give that right zeal toward thy house and thy day and thy word. Teach us to love thy person most sweet. How we need thy Spirit's leading in all things. We need that great gift, the grace of God, to be given to each, and a spirit of confession of sin and repentance and godly sorrow, all to be made sorrowful over our sins. Lord, we pray that thou art then work mightily. Oh, what a mighty work is needful, and we've nowhere else to go, dear Lord. Only thou canst accomplish these great things within our hearts. And we plead for it, Lord, that thy work may appear. And we pray, Lord, that thou art get to thyself all the praise, the honour and the glory to thy most holy name. We would lift thee up in our worship, and worship thee truly, and that thy people here, may we be thankful, truly thankful, for all the many benefits that surround us, the many blessings, the multitude of thy tender mercies toward us. Lord, we pray for each who gather here. Thou knowest, Lord, how they've come. And thou knowest the needs and concerns, the burdens. Thou knowest, Lord, each heart. And we pray that thou would speak to us this day. May we be given ears to hear and a heart to receive. But may thy word be suited to meet each case. And may the Holy Spirit apply the word with power. And though delivered in much felt weakness, yet may it be in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. And may it be that we leave thy house this day, not empty, but may we be sent away full, with our hearts overflowing. Do pour out thy love. May the love of Christ be shed abroad in each heart. Lord, that love of Christ that brings such liberty, oh, that constrains and compels. Oh, Lord, we pray that we may know it and feel it, and we may see the witness of it in our lives, in our conduct, in our conversation, in our walk before the world. We pray, Lord, that thou would keep us, keep the enemy from us. Oh, a mighty foe in Satan. And Lord, who can stand? Who can stand a trying hour? Stand his temptations? Oh Lord, may we be found fleeing for refuge to thyself. Oh, that shadow of a great rock in a weary land. May we be found hiding in the clefts of thy dear side. O Lord, draw us to thyself. Teach us, Lord, our weakness, our sinfulness, our many faults and failings. Oh, but draw us to thyself, there to see a precious Christ meeting our deepest needs. Oh, give us, Lord, that drawing influence within. Oh, may we be found fleeing for refuge. Do not pass any by, we pray. We commit each soul into thy precious hands. We commend them to God and the word of his grace. Oh Lord, we pray to be built up in our most holy faith. But we commit each soul into thy hand. Oh, may they each be precious in thy sight. Oh, to be found vessels of mercy, names written in that book of life. Dear Lord, remember them with the favour that thou bearest to thy people, and visit them with thy salvation. So pass none by, leave none out, may not a hoof be left behind. Lord, as we hasten on to a never-ending eternity, and that day when we must each stand before thee. We know not, Lord, when that day will be, but it's certain it will be coming upon us. Lord, prepare us by thy grace for that day, that it may not take us unawares, but, Lord, to be prepared by thee, to be found sheltering beneath the precious blood. For when I see the blood, I will pass over you. O Lord, we pray then, convince us of our sins, then lead to Jesus' blood. Oh, we pray, Lord, that thou be with us then. Be with each of the friends, both now and in all the untrodden steps of their lives. May we have those evidences in our lives of thy Spirit's work, all things working together for our real good. May we know the love of Christ. Oh, may we know the Holy Spirit's teaching and leading, things sanctified and applied to us. Oh, may we not be like the world, who hear not thy voice. For thou hast said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Then may we be followers of the Lamb. Lord, we pray great things. When we consider our base, vile starting point, how sin has ruined our lives, yet, Lord, we thank thee for that hope that's in the gospel. Oh, we pray there may be many souls venturing with a who can tell, coming boldly to the throne of grace, that they may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need.
And Lord, providentially, we need thy help daily, and how much more spiritually, that the souls, Lord, of us each. So do work mightily in our midst. Make the place of thy feet glorious. Take not thy Holy Spirit from us. May there be thy presence known and felt this day. May it be noised that Jesus was in the house. Oh, then do come and reveal thyself, we pray. May we lose sight of each other and see no man save Jesus only. We pray that thou pardon and forgive our many, many sins. There are many concerns of each. Lord, there are things of tomorrow, next week, the unknown way, this sinful world in which we live, the children growing up in it. Oh Lord, there's much to concern and much to cast down. May we each be enabled to cast our burdens upon the Lord, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Oh, do bless us each with the precious promises in thy word. They are for thy people, dear Lord. May we know them applied to us personally and savingly. Oh, Lord, and do forgive all that we ask amiss. Pardon all that thou dost see amiss. Make up in giving, dear Lord, where we so fail to ask. And take away all our iniquity. Receive us graciously. Through thy beloved Son, we ask in his name alone, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hymn 174. Jesus is precious, says the word. What comfort does this truth afford? And those who in his name believe, with joy this precious truth receive. 174.
Thank you.
turn with me to the chapter we read, the first book of Kings, chapter 17. With the Lord's help this morning, I'll speak to you from the fifth verse. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. The first book of Kings, chapter 17, and the fifth verse. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. This is the first appearing in the word of God of Elijah. And we find him speaking at first to Ahab, that wicked king. The Lord sending him with that solemn judgment that was to come upon the Israelites. This great drought, and therefore a great famine. We don't know anything about Elijah, his early days. The Lord's dealings with him when he was younger, we know nothing of him, except that he was a Tishbite from the inhabitants of Gilead. The Lord had a man ready, prepared to do his bidding. And do we not this morning see his obedience? He comes from obscurity and goes forth and stands before a king. It's no small thing in Bible days to go and stand before one of these sometimes despotic kings and rulers. Not an easy thing. But there he speaks, and speaks of no rain to be found, no dew these years. And the word of the Lord comes again to him. The Lord in love and mercy draws him away from that palace and the imminent danger, and sets his dear servant by the brook Cherith. But the seeming impossibility of it, as we read the Lord's provision set forth, it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. You know, beloved friends, much grace is needed when the Lord speaks to us and calls us maybe to walk in a pathway that to our natural minds seems to be impossible. But Elijah was given grace. Elijah was given faith, and Elijah believed. You know, these ravens, by their very nature, they would not offer and give food away. We get our word ravenous from this creature's name. It's completely against their character and nature. But beloved friends, God is in control. You know, in seemingly impossible things, the Lord has a wonderful ability to turn things
and change things and order things, seeming impossible situations, seemingly immovable things moved. All things in his control, the hearts of all men, but all things in creation, subject to his will and in his hand. But you know, you and I, put yourself in Elijah's position. You say, really? Ravens? Bread and flesh in the morning, bread and flesh in the evening. And Elijah, he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. Oh, we see such obedience. You know, I marvel at the Lord's wonderful ability to give such grace and such humility. This great man, well, he stood before a king one moment, and then the Lord takes him and withdraws him and puts him by a brook, on his own, out of the way of human contact. And there he in love, he teaches Elijah. You know, and it's a wonderful lesson. He taught him to live in dependence upon him. Day by day. You know, he sat there. Well, someone said it was over a year. Sitting, day by day. Bread and flesh in the morning. You know, it's against our characters, isn't it? To sit there. You know, our minds would be contemplating all the many things we should be doing. Oh, is this not a waste of my life? I seem to be held in this position. It sits still. But isn't it a hard thing for us to sit still? The Lord says concerning his people, their strength is to sit still. Well, how can we sit still except the Lord give us that spirit of grace and humility and obedience? But there under the command of God, he couldn't venture forth from that place. He waited. And he waited. The Lord never gave him a time. Wait here. Wait by the brook Cherith. Until it was... get thee hence, turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook, and there will be a supplying of your need. He drank of the brook. And beloved friends, I believe he drank spiritually as there he dwelt, living day by day under the kind hand and the providence of a loving Heavenly Father, drinking of the brook, the very nature turned upside down to feed that beloved servant of the Lord, the impossibility of it, but morning and evening brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening. And there he waited. There he waited. Beloved friends, sometimes the Lord calls us, constrains us. We're graciously influenced by his Spirit to do something. There's a voice behind that says, this is the way, walk ye in it. There's a pathway. And it may seem an impossible one. It may seem a puzzling one. It may seem contrary to your thoughts and mine. But oh, if the Lord speaks, oh, to be given the obedience, to learn obedience, to be given obedience, to follow his word. Elijah, that brook dried up. And it wasn't until the brook dried up that he was given a word to move. You know, there was a drought in the land. There wasn't much water to be found. That brook dried up when the Lord saw fit. And though the brook dried up, until the word came, the word of the Lord came, the provision was there. The brook gave him that drink. And who are we, if the Lord has placed us somewhere, to then, by our own strength and in our own wisdom, get up and move? You know, it's a solemn point, isn't it? But you know, beloved friends, you and I have been placed in this world by the hand of God. We're parents, native place and time, all appointed were by him. Oh, that we may seek more direction. You young children and young people growing up, you've decisions to make. At the moment, the Lord's placed you here. The Lord has ordered your parents, ordered the place of your birth. And you've things coming in your life, decisions to make. Are you seeking the Lord's direction? Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Where am I to go? Am I to stay here? Am I to move away? Lord, what's right? Lead me. Oh, there may be a committing your ways unto the Lord in all these things. For it's not a by chance that you're here. It's not a coincidence. It's an ordering of our lives. Parents, native place and time, all appointed were by him. Well, has the brook dried up? And if the brook's not dried up, well, why have we a feeling of itchy feet, wanting to move? You know, is our eye single in these things? Elijah sat, Elijah waited, Elijah listened, Elijah watched. May there be more of this spirit in us, a watching and praying. A praying and watching, committing our way to the Lord, casting our future pathway into his hand, the circumstances, the decisions we have to make. And because the Lord delays in answering, are we to then take a jump, a step ourselves? To wait, to sit still, to be still and know that I am God. He knows our very footsteps to the end of our lives. Oh, that we may know this spirit of making supplication before him. Elijah, he's a man of prayer, wasn't he? Man of prayer. And James writes of it in that epistle. And he speaks of Elijah, and he says this: the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You know, that's a wonderful thing, isn't it? The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elijah, was a man subject to like passions as we are. You know, when you read the account of Elijah, if you skip over the time when he was under the juniper tree, but if you read the rest, you'd think, oh, there's never a man like it. But you know, he's a real man. And sometimes when you read these accounts, you can't comprehend that they're real men. That such wonderful things the Lord accomplished in their lives. But he was a man subject to like passions as we are. Real doubts, real fears. And the Lord is gracious in granting us the account of Elijah under the juniper tree. Real anxiety, real fear, real weakness and real temptations that he experienced. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. You know, he prayed earnestly. He had a concern that the welfare of the household of Israel. There was a wicked king in place, and he prayed earnestly that the Lord would deliver them from the hands of this wicked man. And he prayed earnestly for the welfare of Zion and the people of God. It was a concern, like Nehemiah. He sighed and cried for the abominations done in the land. The Lord gave him that zeal after his house, for his word. The Lord's name was being trampled on, desecrated. The children of Israel had fallen into idolatry. And the Lord gave him a tender heart and a tender conscience and a zeal for the honour and glory of God. And he prayed earnestly. And the Lord wonderfully appeared. And he prayed that it may not rain, and it rained not. And Elijah said, until my word. He says to Ahab, but according to my word, it will not rain, except according to my word. Speaking under the influence of the Holy Spirit, in faith, believing. He prayed, and he prayed again. You read, don't you, on Mount Carmel, he prayed again. And the earth brought, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Oh, the encouragement, beloved friends, to pray unto him. The hymn writer says, wrestling prayer can wonders do. Hymn 397, wrestling prayer can wonders do, bring relief in deepest straits. Prayer can force a passage through iron bars and brazen gates. Oh, to try then what our poor prayers can do. Oh, you see this man in his obedience, in his humility, in a spirit of submission, waiting for the appearing of God, waiting to see his circumstances change, waiting until the word of the Lord comes again and says, move. Waiting, living day by day on the hand of God, not having surplus at the end of the day, storing it up in case the ravens don't come the next day, but believing, living day by day on the hand of God. Not setting apart a provision. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong to make preparations and to use our things wisely. But you know, at times and at places, the Lord brings us to these points. You know, if it's his will to teach us in that way. But oh, to live trusting him. Now, that may be our desire. Lord, make me trust thee more. Teach me to trust thee. Cause me to trust thee. Bring me to lean upon thee. You know, all of these things are beyond our natural ability. You know, you can't make yourself trust him. You can't make yourself obedient. We need these influences of the Holy Spirit. We need the teaching of the Holy Spirit. We need faith to be given into our hearts. But beloved friends, there's nothing in the word of God that says we're not to ask for these things. You see Elijah, these things are left on record for our encouragement, for our instruction. You see this dear man Elijah, and maybe you admire him. You marvel at his grace and his obedience. Oh, make me, dear Lord. Oh, like this man. Oh, you see his obedience. And you is it your desire to be found obedient? Obedient to his command. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Oh, then, Lord, let me hear thy voice. You want direction in your life. You want the Lord, a voice behind saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. But what happens if that way is the opposite to what you felt? The opposite to what you thought? The opposite maybe to what you thought would be right for you spiritually or right for you providentially? To have that grace like Elijah. Lord, why am I one moment in an open witness before the mightiest man of the land, and why am I set apart here? Why is it I've been picked up here and put down here and almost languishing there? No day was wasted. All needful, all right, all fulfilling the purposes of God. And until the word came again, he rested in that word of God, that bread and flesh would be given in the morning and bread and flesh would be given in the evening. And he rested, he believed, and he trusted. When you say, ah, yes, but I'm like this widow. You know, there was obedience in the widow of Zarephath, wasn't there? You know, Elijah said, make me a cake first. And she obeyed him. And in obedience, and the Lord, through Elijah, performed that wonderful miracle. And you know, it's quite telling, isn't it? When you read at the end of the chapter, that there was an effect on her life from that first miracle. But beloved friends, it had not the same effect as that second one. It didn't have that same effect. You know, when the Lord brought Elijah to her house, and in obedience she followed the command, and she entertained Elijah in her house, she felt she was doing what was right. She was doing what was right. And then this trouble came upon her. You know, it's like that, isn't it, sometimes? You feel led to do something. You take up the cross. You follow him. And then trouble comes. The Lord says, this is the way, walk ye in it. And it's like you're walking into trouble. It brings confusion. I felt this was an open door. I've walked through the open door. And it's all gone into confusion. It's brought trouble upon me. Well, beloved friends, we must understand that there's a very real battle that goes on between Almighty God and Satan, between the people of God and Satan. We have a very real enemy in Satan who has very real powers. And walking in obedience, it angers Satan. And he has things in his control. And the Lord, in his wisdom, sometimes he puts Satan away, and there's a hedge around, and nothing can touch. But at other times, for our real good, for our instruction, he permits Satan to meddle. And it was so in this woman's life. There was this illness in her son, this sickness. But you know, it was very telling as we read it, wasn't it? When he fell sick, And the sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. You know, that the Holy Spirit was at work in her heart. She said unto Elijah, "What have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son?" You know, under that illness of her son, the Lord permitting that touching of the health of her son, there was the conviction of sin. The Lord used it for her real good. There was a calling. We don't call see Elijah calling her forth and condemning her for her sin. You know, this trouble came upon her, and you know it was there was one trouble, which was the very real trouble in her son and in his health. But there was another trouble. It had an eternal meaning to her. It had a meaning of eternity. It called to remembrance her sin. She says, "Thou art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son." Have you ever experienced that? Maybe the Lord's brought you into a trouble. And under the weight of it, it's a great trouble providentially. But then the Lord brings upon you a feeling in your heart that this has a greater meaning. That it stirs up, maybe it stirs up thoughts of, where have I been? Maybe there's thoughts that are put there by the Lord, a prick of the conscience. Am I walking right? Am I seeking the honour and glory of God? Is what I'm doing right? Am I an Achan? Have I a sin in my house, in my tent, a secret sin? You know, beloved friends, if a trouble comes upon you and you immediately feel a conviction of it in your heart that it's for a particular sin, may you not listen to anyone who says it's not. You know, may no one try and pacify you and say, no, it's not for that. Oh, may you, under the influence of it, lay it all at his feet. You know, but people may say, well, no, of course the Lord is not punishing you for your sin. Eternity's for the punishment of your sin. Beloved friends, the Lord chastened David sore. The Lord corrects and chastens, rebukes his dear children. It's in love, but he does chasten for their sins. Oh, we must be brought back onto that straight and narrow way. And how can we be brought back onto that narrow, straight way without the rod and the application of the distress that we've been brought into and the trouble being used and sanctified? And the Holy Spirit showing us we've erred. This is a wrong pathway we've taken. This is a wrong thing we've got. We've got an idol in our house. We've got an idol in our tent. We've a secret sin. We've a lust of the flesh. And it must be stopped. It's the Lord speaking through these things. And may we give heed to these warnings. And may he give us a spirit of confession. May we lay it at the feet of Jesus. What a mercy to lay it at the feet of Jesus and there to find forgiveness. She says, "Art thou come to call my sin to remembrance, to slay my son?" And you know that the Lord wonderfully delivered her son, brought his life back again, and with it, what a testimony from her lips. You know that first miracle, that cruse of oil that didn't fail, and a barrel of meal that never wasted, and yet this,
the woman said unto Elijah, Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord is in thy mouth is truth.
You know, what a mercy. The Lord brings you into a place. And it's, yes, it may be a very real problem, a very real trial. But under the Spirit's teaching, it's used for your soul's good. And have you ever had that when the Lord has brought another burden upon a providential one, a spiritual one on top of the providential one? This is my condemnation. This trouble that's come upon me, it's a nail in me. It's a blow, it's an eternal blow. I can't be a child of God. Surely, I can't be. Love with an everlasting love. This thing that's come upon me, it's my eternal seal of damnation. And now the Lord picks up a poor trembling sinner. And you know, the providential trouble has faded. The weight of it, the severity of it's faded. There's an eternal issue. There's my soul that's at trouble. I'm not right with God. I need peace with God. I must know the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't see his face. I can't see the Lord in it. And as the Lord comes and delivers, oh, everything's right. Your heavenly Father knoweth. There's a touch. There's the angel of the Lord that comes. Arise and eat. The journey's too great for thee. The Lord blesses you. Pours in a spirit of peace into troubled hearts. And there, though the trouble may still be there the next day, and the next week, and the next month, yet everything's changed. Nothing's changed in your life providentially, but everything's changed. Oh, this must be for my good. The Lord is with me in it. He's brought me with weeping and with supplications. He said, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. It's not me pushing you away. I'm drawing you to myself. You're to me made sick of self, fond of me, trusting wholly on me, leaning wholly upon me. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up. Well, that the brook dried up for Elijah. Because there was no rain in the land, and the word of the Lord came, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath. And so there was a moving on of Elijah. It wasn't to languish there forever. He wasn't to rest there forever. But until the Lord came, until his voice spoke, he waited, he trusted, he obeyed. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. Then this obedience. Oh, we see such disobedience, don't we, sometimes in our own lives. It's easy to obey the Lord when the flesh likes the way. But what about when the flesh dislikes the way? What about when there's things to part with? What about when the Lord begins that work of grace and blesses a soul with a felt interest in the Saviour's life and death and resurrection? What about when a soul is brought to hope in the redeeming blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's made sweet and precious, and it's his only hope? It's his foundation for eternity. He may not have the full assurance of the forgiveness of sin, but Oh, there's his trust in him. He knows where his only hope is. It's the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's that it is what he pleads. That he is what he longs to know more of. And the Lord says, if ye love me, keep my commandments. And that the flesh shrinks away from it. That the flesh doesn't like that way, does it? Take up the cross and follow me in obedience. What did Peter say? What shall this man do? What is that to thee? Follow thou me. Oh, beloved friends, are we looking around? You know, we spend a lot of our time looking around with what ifs and what maybes. Oh, to have that single eye looking unto Jesus. You know, following him, oh, we need to have our eyes fixed on him. Yes, there are many, many things in the pathway. Tribulations, sorrows. You need shoes as iron and brass, but he's promised that as thy days, so shall thy strength be. He's not a hard taskmaster who says, follow me, and then runs off ahead and leaves you to struggle on behind. He's promised to take you by the hand and lead you to a city of habitation, to lead you on that straight and narrow way. Oh, but it's a day by day thing, like Elijah. We're to walk day by day. Just because we walked safely yesterday, we have no guarantee, looking in our own hearts, that we're not to slip and falter and fail today. Looking unto Jesus, the moment we wake up in the morning, our eyes up unto him. Lord, I've a sinful heart. I'm prone to wander. Lord, keep me. Keep me on that narrow way. Hold me fast. Keep me near thee. Feed me with that bread of life. Give me a soul that's longing daily to drink of that living water. And may I not be satisfied with anything less. Keep me from looking around. What will this man do? Well, the Lord has said, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Yeah. What is that to thee? You say, but what of this man? What of these? Well, I haven't got this. I haven't got that. What is that to thee? Ah, my grace is sufficient for thee. And my strength's made perfect in weakness. And this God of Elijah, who daily provided for his needs, and provided for his needs right through to the end of his life, and took him up into heaven at last, it is the same God today as then. And Elijah was a man of like passions as we are, a sinner like we. Oh, may we then be found pleading for help, asking for mercy. Ask, and ye shall receive. He says, I will yet for this be inquired of by the household of Israel to do it for them. Oh, may the Lord stir up in us, yes, a desire to be obedient, a desire to be humble, a desire to have the grace of God in our hearts, a desire to walk in his commandments. But show us what we are, how frail we are. Lord, make me to know mine end, and the measure of my days, what it is, as I may know how frail I am, to show us that without me you can do nothing. Oh, but then reveal the Son of God. Obedience, in Christ's obedience clothe, and wash me in his blood. Do you see the Lord Jesus Christ as meeting your every need, beloved friends, this morning? You say, "Ah, I long to be like Elijah. I long for that obedience." My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Ah, this great and almighty God, sitting at the Father's right hand in heaven above this morning, is the dear Son of God, the eternal Son of God, who knows what it is to be tempted. He's able to succour his dear children. He was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Oh, this, what an attraction in Christ for a disobedient sinner. The obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ, his merits, oh, may I be clothed with them. May his love be in me. May I have evidences of his grace in my heart. May some of his grace be seen in me. May his love be in my heart. May I know what a wrestling prayer is for these things. May the Holy Spirit come and stir up our affections, our desires toward him. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. Amen.
Last Lord's Day amounted to £650, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Parish will address the Sunday School this afternoon and administer the Lord's Supper after this evening's service. Tomorrow evening there will be a prayer meeting, God willing, with an address by Mr. Pack owing to Mr. Field's illness, followed by a church meeting. Mr. Pocock is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. John Rosier next Lord's Day, who also hopes to address the Sunday School. And next Lord's Day there will be a prayer meeting for the nation at 9 o'clock. Let us close with hymn 1119. Jesus, thou almighty Saviour, prostrate at thy feet I lie, humbly I entreat thy favour, condescend to hear my cry. 1119.
Jesus, Christ,
may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.